Death could not contain him. Amen to that. And because of that, he has given us eternal life if we are to accept what he is offering us. It is a gift that he has given to us. And so what do we do with a gift? Well, when it's offered to you, you receive it. You don't have to do anything for it because the person has already paid the price for it. The debt's been paid. All you have to do is receive it. And then once you receive that gift, you unwrap it. And you joy in the gift that you just received. Amen to that. How fitting how God led Jeff to pick that song this morning. Because I'm going to be dealing with that particular gift this morning. And if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. We're just going to read one verse this morning. I'll have a few other verses along the way. But my message this morning, it's a question. And only you can answer this question. I can't answer it for you. No one else can answer it for you. Nobody can help you out with this. Only you can answer this question. And it is this. And it's something I want you to think about through the remainder of this service. Because I don't want anybody in here to miss this. Because the last place that I would want to see anybody go to, and that is hell. I don't want to see anybody that I know, that I've come in contact with, that I love personally, that I might meet on the road somewhere or in a grocery store, that God has purposely placed them in my life. I do not want to see them go to hell because they could not answer this question. And that question is this: are you saved? Are you saved? And many people have different ideas of what salvation is, of what being saved is. And I'm going to show you there is only one way to God Himself. All those other ways that is trying to be done throughout your life will not work unless it's through the Father Himself. That is my goal to get across this morning to you. And you might be saying, Chad, you know me. You've known me for years. That is true. But I'm going to give you my response to that. I do not know your walk with God. I only know mine. I don't know if there's ever been a day that you profess Christ as your Savior. So I'm going to pretend that I don't know that about anybody here this morning. A few weeks ago in my class, I'm wanting to get to know the individuals that God has allowed me to be a part of in their lives. And I've had them do some speaking in the class, and I know some don't like to speak. I get those things. And I stand before you this morning, I don't like to speak in front of groups either, but God puts me here. And I asked them this question: what is your testimony? And they got to share with me how they came to know Christ as their Savior. And one particular story stuck out to me because of an object that was used to help a young person realize that they needed Jesus Christ. And that object has never left her mind. It is still there. And that is a bottle of toothpaste. God used that. Through that, was able to show her she needed Christ as her Savior. And I thought that was exciting. Another person, at the age of 9, went to camp, and she was hoping to get saved. She goes, well, we all go to church to get saved, so I'm thinking to get saved. Well, she didn't get saved. But God didn't give up on her. God continued to pursue her, and she got saved. And many stories continued to go on that way. And so I got to know them just a little bit better. You know of my testimony. You know how I got saved. April the 25th of 1986, right outside those doors. Well, those are not doors there now, but right outside this building here. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. See, so often, people come to church just to come to church. To soothe their conscience, to have the pastor not show up their home and begin to ask them questions, to keep them at bay, to play the religious card. Yeah, I've been to church. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to throw this out. If you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and come to repentance of your sins, you're on your way to hell. But there's good news. I can show you how to get saved this morning, to where you no longer wonder about where you will spend eternity. You know, Jesus had 12 men with him. And we all know what happened with Judas. He betrayed Jesus. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Sold him. Money, wealth, fame was more important to him than eternal salvation with Jesus Christ. So if there is one that walked amongst Jesus, take a look around. We have more than 12 here this morning. Could it be that we have one who's not saved? Could it be that we have two that's not saved in our midst? Could it be that there might be three that's not saved in our midst? Could it be that you grew up in a Christian home and you're playing off of your parents' faith and you've yet to accept him? Are you saved this morning? You and I will face two things in life, guaranteed. It's guaranteed what we'll face. This is what we're guaranteed. You will either have a home. A home means your destination, a place where you're going to reside and live. So you either have a home in hell because of your rejection of Christ, or you will have a home in heaven in his presence. Those are two things that we will face in life. One can be avoided. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in him. Man, I haven't even gotten to my notes yet, and I'm excited about this. And I only got 6.5 pages of notes. And it's only 22 after 11. I told you 12:45 is the time this morning. I'm just messing with you. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll read our scripture. Heavenly Father, I asked you a question yesterday. And that question was this: God, please give us somebody this morning that needs you for salvation. God, you put this message upon my heart. I can't begin to explain why or even understand your ways, because your ways and your thoughts are above mine. And Lord, I'm just being obedient to what you want me to preach this morning. So God, I pray for that one individual. Lord, it'd be great if there's two or three that recognize that as well. But Lord, I'm praying for that one. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to the heart of whoever it may be. Maybe it's a church member who's been here for 10, 15, 20 years. Maybe it's somebody new who's come in. God, I don't know these things. Only you do. You know the heart. I don't. So God, I pray, as the way that you brought conviction to my heart on the 25th of April of 1986, God, I pray that you bring that same conviction to whoever needs you for Lord and Savior today. God, I pray that you'd use me in a way that I've never been used. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Let's go ahead and read in verse number 6 of John chapter number 14. Let me back up, and I want to read the beginning part of this chapter as well, because I don't want to forget this either. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." I like verse number 5. Because we all criticize Thomas for his doubts in the Lord. Doubting Thomas. We ridicule, we criticize, and we make fun of him. But it's the question that Thomas asked that gives Jesus the response we'll see in verse number 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I think that's one of the greatest questions to be ever asked in the Word of God. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One of the greatest questions, how can we know the way? Are you saved this morning? I believe that the greatest messages that are ever preached are the ones that deal with salvation. That's not to take away from the rest of the teachings that we receive in the Bible from preachers, from missionaries, evangelists. It's not to take away from those things, because there are other important things in the Word of God that we need to know as well. But I believe the greatest one is salvation. It's through these messages that lives are literally changed for eternity. My life has literally been changed for eternity. I was once destined for hell. My sins were taking me to hell. I was a rotten, horrible person who grew up in a preacher's home, who was rejecting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, who refused to come to repentance in his life. But God got a hold of me one day and changed my destination for eternity. I'm no longer bound to go to hell, but I am bound to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, my Lord. I have sat in church a majority of my life. I will never be able to say all of my life, because if that's the case, then I will be able to speak after I am dead. Then I cannot do those things. But I've sat in church a majority of my life, and I have come to the understanding that not everybody that attends church is saved. Not everybody that you see that attends church throughout our country has come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. With that being said, they don't know that there is only one way to heaven. Let's face it, everybody that is in here this morning, we've all come from different backgrounds. We have all come from different ways of life. But everybody is born into some sort of religious background. That is a truth to that. But religion, if that is what you're clinging to for your salvation, you're sadly mistaken on that part. Religion is not our salvation. Salvation, listen to this, please, very carefully. Salvation isn't going to church. I said it a little bit ago, we make our little check mark. I am here at church. I'm doing my good deed for the week. And I'm here to attend. That is not how you get to heaven. Some have the wrong thinking in this area because they are not taught properly. Salvation is not giving of your tithes and of your offerings. Well, if I give this amount, and if I give this to this corporation, and if I give this to this individual, that is not salvation. You cannot get to heaven by your church attendance. You cannot get to heaven by your tithes or your offerings. And I will say this, salvation is not even saying Hail Marys. That is not what salvation is all about. Most people don't even know what being saved is all about. It is foreign to them. The general answer for most, if they are asked this question, will respond with this: are you saved? And here is their response: well, I go to church. How many of you folks that have been out visiting these last few months have come upon that answer? Well, I go to church. No, it's not about that. If that's the case, then I would be doing everything that I can within my power to get this whole town of Council Bluffs just to sit in church for one service. But that's not what salvation is all about. Or they might have a response with this. Well, I'm Catholic. Or I'm Presbyterian. And I'm going to end with this one. Or I am Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist home. I grew up in a Presbyterian home. I grew up in a Catholic home. That's all fine and dandy if that's what you want for your background check. But if you have yet to come to the realization that your sins are separating you from an almighty God and have yet to repent of those things, you're destined for hell. Doesn't matter what type of religious background you come from. I told you here a few moments ago, I was bound and destined for hell because I rejected Christ growing up in a Baptist home. So don't cling to your religion. If that is your answer to that question, you are probably headed to hell this morning. The Bible is very clear in how we are to attain our salvation. It's so simple, a child can understand it. But people complicate it because of the simplicity of salvation. And that's what takes place in a lot of lives. My salvation is different than that of others. At times, I believe my testimony was embarrassing to tell because of what I've heard of what other people were saved from or out of drugs, alcoholism, things of that nature. And I would begin to think to myself, I don't really have that story to tell. And I didn't give my testimony the way that I should. But then I begin to realize my testimony, my salvation is just as powerful, if not powerful, than the ones who were saved out of those things, because my God saved me from those things. And I'm excited to tell people that God saved me from going down a life of being a drug addict. God saved me from going down a life of becoming a drunk, living my life in the gutter. God saved me from those things. I'm no longer embarrassed. I'm excited about that. I don't have to have the scars that some people bear. But I will say this, I have scars. We all have scars. And we look at them. Yeah, I got it from this situation. I got a scar on my pinky here. Most people won't see it. But I remember one day, every time I look at it, I was with my brother Wayne. And as a young kid, all you wanted to consume is candy. You can care less about meat and potatoes. All you want is sugar in your system. And when I grew up, we had a little corner store just on the 21st of Avenue C. And had many different names, but one of the names I remember was Quick Trip. And since then, that place has been torn down. But I remember we went there one afternoon, and I got excited and began to run home. I don't know why I was running home. Maybe I couldn't wait to put some candy in my mouth. I don't know. I wasn't smart enough to realize I can eat it on the way home. But I'll never forget where this happened. I was coming across the street on 21st Street, and I hit the curb with my feet, and I began to stumble, and I fell, and my hand went right underneath my chest, right onto the concrete, and tore my fingernail right off. And to this day, I see this scar. I feel the bump that's there. I say that for this reason. Yes, I was saved from those things, but I still bear scars. And scars are a reminder of what we've gone through in our life. Salvation is exciting. And we should be excited when that takes place in the life of an individual. We have a great opportunity with our missionaries, think about this, who take the gospel for us to foreign lands. And we read of folks getting saved. And honestly, I'm going to say this, the letter reading of that time should be interrupted with praise and thanksgiving to God for a soul being saved from hell to heaven. Salvation is powerful. You might ask, why am I on the conversation of people getting saved? For this reason, folks die daily and go to hell for eternity. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. And I do not want people to spend eternity in hell. You and I can be a big part in changing someone's destination. But not everybody is saved. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's read this verse here in verse number 21. This is an important verse for us to understand, especially if we're clinging to being church members, especially if we're trying to earn our way into heaven. Verse number 20 says, 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into heaven. Even the devils believed, but they didn't put their faith in Christ alone. This is why John 14, verse number 6, should be so important for the world to understand and to see with their own eyes. There is only one way, and that way is through the Heavenly Father. This message that I'm bringing to you this morning is so important to me because I personally believe, with God giving me this question to ask Him yesterday, that there might be one person in our presence this morning who is yet to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's possible that there might be more than one, but I ask God specifically for somebody to get saved today. I ask for that, and I know God's going to answer. Well, what if that doesn't happen? Do not underestimate my God. Just because we leave from here today does not mean that God's not, that He's done working. Don't underestimate Him. Eternity is a long, long time. And you can't go back in time and change things. Yesterday, as the football games were being played, there were many comments that people made across our nation. And that is words like this: if they would have just made a field goal, who heard that yesterday? If they would have just made the extra points, if they would have just made that tackle, we wouldn't have lost. Why are you saying this? Why are you using this illustration? Because I don't want anybody to fall into that position when it comes to salvation. What if? What if? What if they would have only walked down the aisle? What if they would have just talked to the pastor after the service? Or what if they would have only repented of their sins and believed in Jesus Christ? You cannot put your life in a what if situation. God has given you opportunity after opportunity. And you need to capitalize upon the opportunity that He's given you because you do not know of when that last opportunity might take place in your life. Who knows if I would have rejected God that day on the 25th of April, who knows if God would have gave me another chance, because I know for a fact that He was pursuing me for a long time in my life. And that could have been very well the last chance that I would have been able to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've heard people say, I don't have time for this. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait for my deathbed. I've heard of those stories. I've had people call me, "Hey, I got someone dying. I need you to get up there." Why are you waiting? For the day of salvation is now. It's not to be put off for tomorrow. It's not for you to look back and say, "Well, what if they would have done this?" What if guarantees you this: a separation from God and a home, your dwelling place in hell. That's what if will get you. So I don't want you to fall into that category of life. What would you need to do? Simply ask God to forgive you of your sins. Recognize that He is the only way. And call upon Him to be your Lord and Savior in His life. I don't want you to fall into another category of a man that we read about in the book of Acts, chapter number 26. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter number 26. As we begin to pick up in verse number 27, I'm going to read two verses here. We read of a man that Paul encounters in his life and has a desire to be a witness to him, has a desire to give him the gospel, has a desire to see him accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But this takes a sad turn in this man's life. Verse number 27 is talking about King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then verse number 28, you have King Agrippa's response to Paul. It's a response to Paul that to this day is devastating to look at. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what almost got King Agrippa? Separation from God, home in hell for eternity. See, I don't want you to be in that category. What if? What if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? What if I would have listened? What if I would have responded? And I don't want you to fall into the category, I almost did it. I was almost there. I almost gave God my life. But almost doesn't cut it. Paul confronted King Agrippa. Paul had a desire for him to accept the ways of the Lord. The same way that I have a desire for whoever is in here this morning to accept what God has for them, because I don't want you to fall into that category. I almost accepted Christ as my Savior. I almost fell in love with Him. You almost had me. I don't want you to fall in that group, because almost isn't good enough. Almost persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, just like the football games we talked about, you cannot go back in time and change things. You cannot go back in time to correct your mistakes. I believe these words are words that are still haunting King Agrippa. Because of his death, he's been in flames for eternity. And I've heard people say, I can't wait to go to hell and be with my friends all the time. Let me remind you, hell is not a place for a person to want to reside in. Let me give you a little reminder of what hell is. Hell is a place of eternal flames. It's a place where you cannot put the fire out. Your body's constantly being consumed. And it's a place of eternal darkness. You won't be able to see anybody that you think's there. But think about this thought, because I don't think this thought gets shared enough. As you're falling into eternity, the flames are consuming your body. You can't see anybody, but I can almost guarantee you what might happen. As you're falling, you're bumping in to other non-believers who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That really gives me chills down my spine when I begin to think about that. Who was it? I don't know. I can't see him. When you're in hell, it's too late. Hell is a real place, and we need to warn people of the danger of it. These last few weeks, I told you in Sunday school I was going to get to something this morning that I was challenged with. It's something that was challenged. I was challenged with, and it's something that I was hurt by as well. Last year, I was asked to be the chaplain of a basketball/volleyball program in Omaha. And I'll be honest with you, I was excited about it, but at the same time, I had some mixed feelings about it. I was excited because of the opportunity I was going to have to be able to give the gospel to folks that have yet to have the gospel. And so I was excited about that opportunity. However, as I met with them and began to talk with them, begin to give them devotions, most people don't know what has taken place, and so this is the very first time that you're hearing this. So as I begin to talk to them about Satan, and as I begin to talk to them about how Satan is trying to destroy their lives, and I begin to talk about hell, and I begin to talk about heaven very clearly, you want to know what took place in the last couple weeks of my life? Because I'm trying to warn people about the dangers of hell, I was asked not to do the devotions again. I was asked not to do the devotions again. But I was asked, hey, come around every once in a while, pray over us. People are still rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Hell is a very real place. And here's what they wanted. Devotions of encouragement, devotions of a pat on the back, saying you're a good person. I don't disagree with those things. I'll be honest with you. It's nice to be encouraged. It's nice to have a pat on the back. I fully believe it's good for those things. But you have to talk about the real subject at hand too. And that's a separation from God for eternity. A pat on the back's not going to get you into heaven. Hell is real. Satan is real. And I'm always going to do my best to show people that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is only one way. There is only one truth. And there is only one life who can offer you salvation. And that is Jesus Christ himself. No man can come through that but Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I'm saddened with the response of what took place in the last couple weeks. Because last week, before they canceled me, I was going to tell them how they can get saved and how they can have a home in eternity. But they rejected. They rejected. Is God done working? No. I believe he's still doing the work that he needs to do. But I don't want people to reject Jesus Christ and go to hell. I was brought on because I was told people wanted what we have. And my response is, we have Jesus. And you can have him too. But it's sad to say, it seems that the world only wants encouragement and a pat on the back. So how do we get saved? Through Jesus. That is the only way. It's a fact. One day, we will all die if the Lord does not come back in our lifetime. And it's a fact that we will all stand before him. But it's also a sad day. As we stand before him, he will begin to say, Madison, come forth. Candace, come forth. Carolyn, Clarissa, come forth. You're my children. Sorry, Jeff. I never knew you. You can be on that list. You don't have to be the one where Jesus says, I never knew you. You can have salvation today. You can have that today. It's not anything that we do for salvation. It's all because of his grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8. It's through our faith in him that we are saved. And I talked to you earlier about a gift. His salvation is a gift given to us. And all that we have to do is accept it. Is accept it. But here's what will happen if you reject his salvation. You will be cast into hell with eternal flames consuming your body, never seen again, because you will be cast into eternal darkness. But here's the exciting thing about accepting his salvation. You want to know what's exciting about this? You'll have a home with him for eternity in the presence of God Almighty. But, it's your choice. I cannot make you do anything at all. I cannot convict you. I cannot say enough words. I cannot go out into this auditorium and begin to grab people to come up here to get saved. I cannot do it. It is your choice. God has given you a free will. All you have to do is accept him. King Agrippa, almost persuaded. Don't leave here this morning, almost persuaded. Leave here this morning knowing that you'll have a home with him for eternity. You might say, Chad, I'm going to be embarrassed. I don't want to walk out in front of this crowd. But let me tell you this. You have more people cheering for you than you realize. You have people that are praying for you, wanting you to come to the saving grace of Jesus the way that they did. You'll have a big cheerleading section. They'll weep with you. They'll laugh with you. They'll joy with you. Don't let embarrassment send you to hell for eternity. This might be the only time that God will ever deal with you on a matter of getting saved. Don't miss out on one of the greatest opportunities of your life. And as I begin to close, the hardest people in my mind to ever reach are the religious people. Trying to work and earn their way into heaven. And that's not the answer. I don't want your answer to say, yeah, I'm religious. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I give tithes and offerings. If you've yet to accept him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do so. How do I do this? Let me close with this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we can help you show you on how to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple.